The Institute of Race Relations has warned that the president's goal of raising $100 billion in 5 years could be stymied by his land expropriation drive. In studio now to elaborate is project manager Terence Corrigan. Welcome. Always a difficult topic, this one, because it's so highly complicated.
Yes.
But why do international investors dislike the proposal so much?
I think there are three things that investors, whether local or domestic, consider when thinking about South Africa. This is certainly my experience. Security of assets, which this strikes against, a cost-effective, reliable power supply, and a stable, productive labor environment. We have challenges on all fronts, but the one that we really can control is our policy environment. To embark on a policy drive that seeks to undermine the security of investments, initially perhaps focused at land, but by no means guaranteed to remain there, I think is a fatally reckless step to take.
Do you think their biggest fear is that we're going to fall into economic ruin like Zimbabwe did?
Well, you know, I'm always very cautious about looking at direct parallels between countries, but certainly the record of countries that have encroached on property rights, particularly sort of mid-level powers like South Africa, which don't have the kind of economies of scale that you'll find in China, for instance, they're not encouraging. Zimbabwe, of course, had its own very distinct set of pathologies, the collapse of the rule of law, which may not apply here. But nevertheless, the idea that that you can sink money into an investment and find that investment is then claimed by the government 5 years down the line is not an enticing prospect.
Mm. If one assumes that the final outcome is economic ruin, then the country will have to, because of systemic banking crisis, there's asset forfeiture, etc. So the country would have to fall back onto a bailout from the World Bank or IMF. What would they do? They return the land? Would they pay out compensation anyway?
Look, I think by that stage of the situation, if we were to come to that, the outcome may well not be that dramatic. It may simply be a situation which no one is willing to commit to a long-term investment. You know, crawling along at 1% growth over the next decade. I'm just seeing those prospects fade further and further. If we came to a sort of Zimbabwean or Venezuelan style collapse, I think by that stage your eggs would be so badly scrambled that it's difficult to see what options would be there. We'd essentially have to be put on some life support program, and in a sense try to cycle back to the status quo ante, which would no longer be attainable. You know, many of the South Africa is a highly sophisticated economy. Let's not think that what might be directed immediately at land issues would remain there.
Yeah.
Let's not think that people in the cities would be immune from this. We would see things like an exodus of skills, you know, as we've seen in places like Venezuela.
So it's not only rural farmland. It could be anywhere. It could be your townhouse in Sandton.
Look, I think this is the one of the kernels of the problem. There is no clarity about what exactly this extends to. If we are talking as has been raised about Section 25 of the Constitution, that is not the land clause; that is the property clause. And you can look back over the past decades. There's been suggestions of encroachment into things like intellectual property, the mining charter, the ownership requirements there, custodial takings, free carried interests on mineral explorations. All of those things could start to come back onto the table in a big way. For me, it is not just about, for us as the Institute, it's not just about what happens to rural farmland. And I think that's the idiom in which it's been phrased. But there is nothing in the parliamentary resolution that says this is where it stops.
And is it only from whites, or could it be anybody who feels they've been wrongly robbed of their land?
Well, you know, once again, let's not assume that a move on property rights in general will simply be about land. As I've said, you know, we have the precedent of the Mineral and the Mineral Development Act, which essentially nationalised minerals, the custodial taking of minerals, should I say. Will this apply? will this apply to white people? I think that, you know, that's another question. One of the options that's very much on the table, although not very well understood, is the idea of declaring all land the common property of the people of South Africa.
Isn't that what communism's all about?
Well, you know, one can put various labels on it, but
okay, I'm going to move on because we could just talk about this for days and days. But I want to ask you that, you know, is the common sense behind all of this, the reason, is that Cyril is in a rock and a hard place. To get in power, maybe he had to accede to this. We have elections coming up, most importantly. Is this all because of that?
Look, we have traced something like two dozen distinct attempts to encroach on property rights over the past 10 years. As I say, it's not just about land, although land has been a major focus. Including ideas for custodial takings. And as I say, you can go through things like intellectual property. Measures have been introduced, withdrawn. It's a bit like a game of whack-a-mole, you know, where the mole keeps on jumping up. I think that there's a very strong strain of ideology behind this. I think that in some respects the radical economic transformation camp at the ruling party's last Congress was not defeated. It achieved many of its objectives.
There has to be some sort of redress. Most sane people would realize that.
Yes.
What type of redress would you recommend so that the outcome of a happy united country is obtained?
Look, this is a big machine with many moving parts. On this particular issue, what I see taking place is an assault on property rights. This is not about land ownership by white people or by white monopoly of capital. If this sort of thing goes through, I think it will degrade property protections for all. Now, something that is not widely acknowledged about our land reform program is that for the past decade, it has shifted from a posture of transferring title to beneficiaries to transferring title to the state. Take away from owners and hand to the state.
In a nutshell, because we have to wrap.
I would say a property rights system that brings people into the economy and doesn't make them perpetual tenants of the state. And I think that is something we need to aim for across the economy.
That was Terence Corrigan, Project Manager at the Institute of Race Relations.